Welcome everyone to the Ditch the Struggle podcast. I'm your host, Alana Russo. I'm a graphic designer and career and success coach who knew I could do better, but kept falling short of where I wanted to go. And now, after years of exploring personal and career development, business, money mindset, and energy work, I'm here to tell you that yes, you can move from stuck and defeated to empowered and confident. Ready to dive in? Awesome. Together, let's ditch the struggle. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Ditch the Struggle. It's Alana. And today I'm going to share a story about how a government job saved my life. Now, I could say it changed my life, but I feel saved is much more dramatic. And it is kind of accurate because this job that I'm going to tell you about was a catalyst for a lot of healing in my life, a lot of transformation, basically me getting back on my feet. And the point of me telling you this story, and I'll tell it right from the job interview process because it was interesting, is not to say that you need to go find a stable job or work for the government. It's to help you understand that sometimes you need to be open to opportunities that you think are not good for you, or that you think you would never do, or you think make absolutely no sense. Because in a billion years, I never thought I was going to end up having a government job. And how it came to be is really interesting. And even if you don't listen to the rest of this episode, I just really encourage you to consider applying for jobs that maybe you're just a little bit interested in and seeing what happens. Maybe think of different industries you've never thought about. And also start thinking about jobs not just as steps of your career, but as potential ways to expand, change, transform your life. I mean, one of the biggest gifts that I have gotten out of all the jobs that I've had, and there have been many, is that looking back, I'm friends with someone, or at least one person, from every single job I've had still to this day. And I'm going back years. I have still a friend from Umbra, and I worked there in 2000. We're still friends and chat. And not too long ago, she recommended her osteopath that she goes to. And now I go to that osteopath, which has been quite life-changing for me. So just jobs are not just about jobs. It's about the experiences. It's about the people. There's so much to it. So let's dive into how I ended up at the government. And it was for the city of Mississauga. And what got me there and just the process. So in 2016, I've mentioned this before pretty well every episode at this point, really tough year, so much going on in my life. My anxiety was kicked up to a whole different level. So the physical anxiety was really hard to manage. I was freelancing and I didn't have the energy for it. I was not in the position to be hustling because I was really not functioning that well. So I started looking for a job at the end of fall 2016, and it was crickets. It was slow, didn't hear much going on, was feeling very defeated and not in a great mindset, if I'm honest. But somehow, some way, this is always the way it works. I don't know why it works this way. It's like tumbleweed and then everything all at once. So somehow I ended up in potential running for three different jobs at the same time. So one was for a company called Winford, which does corporate event production. A friend of a friend worked there, so I had a little bit of a connection. So I was in interviews for that. One was for a company called Villa Charities, which is a nonprofit. These are all in Toronto, and their whole thing is inspiring people to explore the Italian in all of us. So it was an Italian-based charity. I actually was kind of interested in this job because I knew about them. I'm half Italian. I have my maiden name. I'm Italian, like my Italian on my dad's side. And then they are connected to the Columbus Center, which is an Italian organization in Toronto that my dad was a part of. And so there was something kind of nostalgic and kind of interesting about working there. My dad passed in 2010. So I think there was a part of me that thought that would be kind of neat to do. And then the other was the city of Mississauga. And that, I'll tell you how I applied to that. But first, let's go back. So Winford was, I was in job interviews. That was going okay, but I didn't really feel like I was going to get that position. Villa Charities was going well, and I actually felt I could give a lot to that organization. They were a hot mess, and I knew that I could clean up everything. They were just moving over to InDesign. Like, I think they were still in Quark or something crazy. And I was like, oh, yeah, I can help you with that. And then City Mississauga was for the job title was simply graphic designer. They don't have hierarchies in their design department. It was part of their communications department. So there was no like senior graphic designer or art director or anything like that. Everyone was just a graphic designer under a creative manager. So those were the three options kind of tossing around. And Villa Charities actually did make me an offer. So they made me an offer the end of November. It was not a great offer. So I was going back and forth with them and really not impressed with how that was going and not impressed with what they were offering me. So I went back and they were like, okay, we're going to get back to you. Here's the crazy part about this. I checked my email. I still have these emails. I keep these emails from jobs, not so much from other people, but I do keep job emails. They sent me a final email December 9th saying, yeah, we're going to get back to you. And they had a contract, like I had an actual contract from them in writing, like a contract. Then I asked for the more money and they said, get back to me. They said, yeah, we'll get back to you. Many emails later, they completely ghosted me. So as of today, years later, as of December 9th, 2016, I never heard back from Villa Charities. There you go. Never heard back. They never responded. That just was dead in the water. But it didn't matter because I had the offer from City Mississauga actually come in December 7th. So I had kind of a whole swirl of different things going on, but I didn't get the win for a job. I knew that I probably wasn't the best candidate for that, even though I'd done some work with the Juno Awards. That was like a while before that. So I can understand that I didn't get that. So no worries. So I have the City Mississauga offer, but let me tell you how I got to that offer. I randomly applied to the City Mississauga. I think it was LinkedIn. It could have been Indeed, but I think it was LinkedIn. I definitely used like Easy Apply or some quick apply. I did not do a cover letter. I was one of those things where I just threw my ring into the hat and I was like, yeah, they're never going to hire anyone from Toronto. I just assumed they would go Mississauga. So note, you can't make assumptions about what they're looking for or who they're going to hire. And then when I ended up working there, most of the team was in Toronto, like, or at least half of them, or the other half weren't even in Mississauga. They might've been in, I think someone was in like near Hamilton. So the fact that I wasn't in Mississauga made no difference. So again, never take yourself out of the running. I did like the quickest, easiest apply. Like I threw it in and was shocked to get an email back I got a voicemail and an email back from their HR person, which I got December 2nd. So this was around the time that I was negotiating or trying to negotiate with the Villa Charities. But here's what's really funny about this story. Well, there's a few funny things, but this one really stands out. When I was in the interview process for Winford, which was somewhere in November, in the third interview, they asked me, you know, would you like about this job or what's your idea of a great job? Like, what are you looking for? Then they asked me, what's your idea of a job you would hate to do? I thought it was kind of an interesting question. I've never really been asked that. And I, no joke, said to them, my idea of a job that I wouldn't want to do is a government job. Okay, so cut to like literally 3 or 4 weeks later. What am I doing? I'm having an interview for a government job. And so I made the assumption that I would hate working for the government, was not on my radar. There's so many things that I thought it would be, and it was not a lot of the things I thought it would be. It had some great things about it. I am absolutely grateful to have had this job for many, many reasons. Now I would not be pulled to work full-time for the government. I have a different perspective on the government than I would have back in 2017. I feel like I was a little naive. So I wouldn't go there now, but that's not even the point of the story. The point is that at the time, this job served me so well and I knew it right away. So I go for the job interview and I was surprised again to get the interview and I don't know what was going on in my head. I didn't do the things that I tell people to do. So I didn't really prep. I threw on an outfit. I didn't have a car at the time. We had sold our car and we're like waiting to buy a new one. So I had to borrow my friend's car to drive there in the winter. I threw on an outfit that I think I went really conservative because it was a government job. I threw my hair into a bun. I don't know how I remember this part, but I hadn't washed my hair in like 6 days. And I was like, well, screw it, growing in a bun. That's what's happening. Go to the interview. And I walk into the room and there's a creative director and the senior designer. And we just chatted for a couple minutes. And at that point, I was like, oh, these people are incredibly smart. These people have their shit together. And this is actually an amazing opportunity. And I didn't recognize it until I was actually in the job interview. Then I started realizing, oh, wow, like I really have to bring up my A game here. So job interview, well, I just loved these people immediately. This is why you need to go to the actual interview, because you can make these assumptions. And until you're in the room with the people, you have no idea if it's going to be a good fit or not, or if you're going to have a great team. Like you don't know. So you can't make assumptions. So really just take that away from this whole episode. And I have never looked at job opportunity the same way since this specific experience. And that is why I'm sharing this story. I used to be so close-minded about things and write things off. And no, you can't do that. So have the job interview. Goes pretty well. When I looked through my emails, I got contacted by HR December 2nd. And I had the offer by December 7th. So like somehow 5 days later, I had the offer and in my inbox. So it was really quick. I guess I had the interview quickly. I only remember having one interview. Like none of this go 3-4 rounds stupidity. Like that's insane. I've seen posts on LinkedIn that, and I agree with this, if a company takes 4 rounds of interviews to interview, like to find the candidate, they're not doing things the right way. Absolutely not. So I took the job. And this is what it was going to bring me. Like some of the things I knew was going to bring me was stability. I needed to be less available to my family at the time because the burden of too much care for my mom and things was just really heavy upon me. I needed to disconnect a little bit. I needed to build my own life out a little bit as well. So I needed the steady paycheck. I just couldn't handle the stress when I was under so much anxiety of like waiting for checks to come in. And listen, freelancing is sometimes not for the faint of heart. And I think it's often glorified and simplified in when people talk about it. But at the time, I needed the steady paycheck. And I'm okay saying that. That's what I needed. So I start the job. And as I said, I didn't have a car for the first couple of months because we were looking to buy a new one or like a new secondhand one. And I had to commute to the job I'm in the East End of Toronto. I had to catch the 6:35 bus. I had to take 2 buses, a subway, and a GO bus to get there. So it took 2 hours to get there. So I used to get there for 8:30. And coming home used to take me 2 hours, 2.5 hours. So I would leave like 4:30 and get home often by 7 o'clock. It was a long day. But I do remember that I was on the GO bus one day going home and I knew that this was the right thing for me, that this was good. I immediately loved the team. And the first day I walked into the kind of like the room where all the designers worked, the part of the office, and they had their own separate section. It's not like this anymore and things have changed so much. I was there during, I think, what were some amazing days. But you had a door separate from the marketing communications department, and it was just graphic designers. I think there were 7 of us. There was one other designer that was hired at the same time, and it was just we were both doing 1-year contracts. And I liked that because it felt like steady and stable, but it wasn't a long-time commitment. I knew that if after a year, you know, I didn't love it, well, I was going to be leaving anyway because I was just covering a mat leave. So I walk in the first day and it was its own kind of separate studio and it was just the vibe. I was so down with the vibe. It was, as I said, the friendliest, funniest. I love people who have a sense of humor and like the most talented designers I think I've ever worked with. Like the talent was off the charts. I mean, the team had won so many awards, which I figured out when I started actually doing my due diligence and my research. And we used to listen to music most of the day, we had a wall that everyone would just put up their illustrations and drawings and doodles. Mine were probably the worst. I'm not a great illustrator, but they were just amazing. And turned out my manager was a empathetic, thoughtful, lovely person. And this job, it really meant so much to me. It's so what I needed. And I remember a couple of years later, I was going to dinner with my manager and I felt I really need to tell her. I was like, you know, I need to tell you how much this job meant to me and how I needed it. And I'm just forever grateful. There were 450 applicants apparently. And me and one other person got the role. So how it happened, it was kind of like winning the lottery. The other thing that's wild about this story is like random shit can happen that's amazing that you could never have predicted. One day you can be just like feeling crap about your career and have no job. And the next day you can have a job, you can find something or have an interview that leads to a job. So you can't give up hope. I've never forgotten this experience in terms of that and what it did for me long term. So some of the things that came out of this job that have really nothing to do with the actual job. I mean, the work was good. I loved that it was only 37 and a half hours a week. I actually was not really allowed to work above that because I was a contractor and they would have to pay me overtime. So there was like a cap on what I could work. So 7.5 hours a day, and pretty well every day people took lunches. So the culture was balanced. That whole idea that no one does anything at the government, maybe in some departments, but our department was working pretty steady. However, in comparison to a studio, like some of the studios I've worked at, the pace was way slower. I had definitely time to create projects. I could be thoughtful about things. I was able to triple check my work. Like how anyone who's a designer, you know how much it means when you can actually check your work and not feel like you're just frantically throwing shit out the door just to get it done. You could be like, you could think about concepts. You could develop things that make sense. It's like way more fulfilling as a designer. But some of the other things that came out of this job that I didn't expect were I kind of started able to feel more confident about myself. I was able to build myself up. And that was in large part to the fact that I had no idea when I joined this job that they had their own internal Toastmasters club. Now, some of you may know Toastmasters. It's a organization. It's global for developing your public speaking skills. And it was something that was always on my bucket list to do. Never really got around to it and was always like nervous to do it. I am definitely team Toastmasters, but I have some caveats about that. And the main one is you have to find a club that you resonate with, because some of them are intense and wacky and maybe not your vibe. And I've guested at a few different Toastmasters clubs, and some of them I just like, I don't care for at all. But this club, they met once a week at lunch hour for 1 hour. So most Toastmasters clubs will meet once every 2 weeks for 2 hours. This was like a much smaller time commitment. It was in like the building beside us. And they were really hilarious people. They were so much personality. They were friendly. Like I was down with the vibe. And so that experience, I'll probably do an episode just on Toastmasters for people that want to like do the deep dive into it. Was transformative. I started speaking up again. After feeling like a real just crappy for a lot of time, I started finding my voice. So I think the irony of this whole government job is that like a government job helped me find my voice. And again, it's nothing to do with the government. It's the fact that that's just where the job ended up being. It's the idea is really that, you know, one job can dramatically change your life. One job or one experience can set you on a totally different trajectory than you would have been. So I've done freelance for this team since then. I've kept in touch with all of them. And in addition to just kind of, I think I really upped my design skills. And then I also kind of learned more about public speaking, which, you know, a few years later, I was speaking at Design Thinkers, and that, like honing those skills and that public speaking part was like so important for me. I'm trying not to say the word super, by the way. I feel like in every episode I say it 500 times, but I guess I love that word, but really important. So there was a lot coming out of this job that I never could have anticipated, I never could have predicted, and I will never forget this experience. I will never forget this experience. It helped me land on my feet. It helped me get my life back. Like, I do feel like I got my life back. Like, this was the beginning of an upwards trajectory for my life after kind of going down and down and down for a while. So I'm happy that the Village Charity has ghosted me. It was like their loss. I totally could have helped them and I felt like it could have been a good fit. And I'm glad that the Winford job didn't work out because that was probably a month before the City of Mississauga and I wouldn't have ended up then at the City of Mississauga. And that was where I was meant to be. So you have to trust that, you know, even if you just say yes to a job for the paycheck, which if I look back, it was kind of about that. I was like, well, this is available to me. This makes sense. It's, you know, it's the, well, I only had the one offer really out of the three. So you can sometimes feel bummed, like I'm just taking this job for the paycheck. And I was a little bit still kicking and screaming going into this job, like thinking that it was just going to be, again, something that I didn't want to do or really boring. And then you find out potentially that the job is a great fit or it's different than you thought and it makes sense. So try not to get too wrapped up in whether you think something is this perfect fit, you know, or your dream company or what you think you should be doing with your career. I mean, I wasn't getting a fancy title. I don't know. It wasn't like this sexy job and some cool studio. It was kind of, I think some people might think it would be like a very taupe, grungy kind of job and not too exciting, but you know, there were some great projects. So I encourage you, if you're thinking about applying to a job, but you're not quite sure, just apply. Just hit that frickin' apply button and maybe put in more effort than I did and put in the cover letter if it asks for it, but just go for it. And if you get the interview, go. Just go because you don't know who's going to be interviewing you. You don't know what the company's actually like, and it may be better than you expect. And then also, just go to the interview for the practice. Interviewing is a skill. It's also a really weird experience and stressful. I get that. And the only way to get better at it is to kind of keep doing them. So go to the interview, at least for the practice, and just go to see what they actually have to say. So as I've said in another episode about job interviews, keep saying yes until it's a no. So that was really how I approached this too. I was like, well, they've asked me for an interview, so I'm going to go. I'm going to say yes. Well, you know, they want to see me for another interview. I'm going to say yes. Keep saying yes until it's a no. And at no point did I feel I was going to say no to this job. I knew that if I got the offer, I was absolutely going to be saying yes. And the main reason, I loved these people. I knew right away that I was going to love this team. And I did, as I said, they were incredible. They are incredible. They do incredible work. And I would not do this again. Like if I look back at that time and what I needed, this made sense. I'm ridiculously happy that I actually clicked that button and applied. And I'm really proud of myself for going through with the interview, even when I didn't really want to because I didn't think I was that interested in the job. So bottom line, stay open to any and every possibility that comes your way when you're looking for a job, a new career, or a new experience. Just stay open, apply, say yes. And then if it's a no, that's okay. But magical, crazy, amazing things can happen when you just decide to try and go for something that you would not have normally gone for. Thank you for joining me today on Ditch the Struggle. You showing up here means so, so much to me. To dig deeper into the topics discussed today and to learn about my work, visit alanarosa.com. And don't forget to download your free resources while you're there. And if this episode resonated with you, please share with others who also want to ditch the struggle. Go ahead and subscribe to the podcast, leave a rating and a review, and let me know what you'd like to see more of on this podcast. And before I go, I want to leave you with my three favorite ways to ditch the struggle. Be your own best advocate, take baby steps for the win, and forget about a linear career path. It's overrated and you are doing just fine. See you next time.